I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well and ready for a loaded day here on the show. We've got guests pretty much lined up, pretty much, I guess, the whole way through 1130. Brandon Clear, top of the hour. Excuse me, we will be joined by Adam Lamparello, the man himself, official legal representation here on the show. Talk about a number of things. And, of course, at 1230, we got to get the latest on some other sports, man. We can't be football 24-7. I mean, we can. But we got to dive into a little bit of baseball and, of course, softball, man. We got to show them some love. Both sports doing some really good stuff. And who better than to ask than Gray Robertson, who gets to call both of those sports. Definitely really involved with softball. And we'll get the latest on what those two teams have going on. So we'll do that at 1230. But again, Brandon Clear, 1130, diving into all things football, Alabama football, spring game, all that good stuff. Adam at the top of the hour and then Gray Robertson. So we got a fun one lined up. Plus, if you guys have seen the title here on the stream or any of the streams, I should say, because we do stream live on YouTube every day at the Miller's Edge, live on X as well at the Miller's Edge, and of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. Well, we're going to be projecting the Alabama starting offense for 2026. Now, it seems like we're probably a day or two behind. Listen, I wanted to get to it earlier, but I told myself I wanted to wait until spring officially concluded to kind of get into some of these things. That's why tomorrow we'll do the superlatives, right? We talked about that yesterday. But today officially marks the end for spring practice. They just finished. As a matter of fact, they're probably just walking off the field right now. And that concludes spring. So that's it. I know it felt like it was it this weekend. Felt like it was already over Saturday after A-Day, but a little bit different schedule. You got Morgan Wallen coming into town. I don't know if you guys have seen some of these pictures, but the stadium looks pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie, because I'm just seeing all like the towers and the structures being put up. And I'm like, dang, man, like, it's crazy how much goes into putting on an event like that. But I can only imagine what the finished product's going to look like. And it's going to be pretty wild to see, like, all right, we just went from how it looked on Saturday with A-Day, then a week later, big stage, all these structures and all that stuff. But anyway, they had practice today. It was the last one. And that concludes the spring. So that's it. Helmet, shoulder pads, they're going back in the lockers. They're stuffed away, stored away for the next about 3 months or so, right? About July, late July. So 3 months and some change. So all they've got now coming up for the summer portion is the weight room. Still got 7-on-7. You still can go out there and do some walkthrough stuff. You can get your, you know, one-on-one pass rush, but there's no pads. So we'll definitely have to kind of keep up with it the best that we can. No media availability or anything like that, but we always got eyes and ears, and maybe there'll be some updates we'll talk about. But we'll be diving into some other schools and teams as well over the course of the summer, you know, talking about who's on Alabama's schedule, especially the SEC teams. We'll dive into the Georgias, the LSUs, the A&Ms. I talked yesterday after we got off air. I want to start doing some more film breakdowns. You guys threw a lot of really good suggestions out there. A lot of you guys wanted to go back to 2024. It was really interesting, man. You guys were like, no, we haven't closed that chapter out. Chase Reed, they wanted, I think you guys had to get out of here. But they wanted to go back and see Vanderbilt from 24. They wanted to go back and see Oklahoma from 24, which was interesting. So maybe we'll go back in the archives a little bit. But we're going to be breaking down some tape and maybe even some players. We'll do all that over the next few months. But don't worry, just because spring ball is done, we still got plenty to talk about. Of course, with other sports, plenty of other things going on. You got the UFL. A.J. McCarron and a company, I think, hosting their first home game this weekend, which I think Gucci Mane is supposed to be performing. So we'll see how that whole thing turns out. I don't know if you guys saw the other game, but Ludacris was performing in one of these games. And unfortunately, man, it didn't do too much for the attendance, which growing up, believe it or not, I was probably one of the biggest Ludacris fans there was, because before the Pastor of Pain was, in fact, the Pastor of Pain, he had Ludacris like, on every CD. He had every Ludacris CD. And I remember, I don't know, Reed, Chase, you guys might be a little too young for this. Granted, I ain't that old, but Word of Mouth. Have you guys heard of that album before?
Word of mouth.
That's a no. That's a no. I can tell by the way you said it. Chase, let's get some seasoning here. Chase, come on, please don't let me down.
He just walked out, but when he comes back in, I'll run it to him.
Reed, if you haven't heard of word of mouth, you got to go check it out. Now, I don't know what kind of music you're into. Listen, I listen to everything from rock to country to rap, hip hop. I mean, you name it, right? But word of mouth is a classic, man. If you like hip hop and you're from the South, it's one of those classics, man. I mean, Ludacris, Atlanta, and those guys, man, like back in the day, that's what was going on. And granted, I was like probably 5 or 6 years old at this time, but I will never forget. My dad had that CD. I think Ludacris is on the cover with his afro all blown out and stuff. And that, like, I used to want to be like Ludacris growing up. I don't know why. I just like the music. Now, trust me, I had no business listening to Ludacris back then. I think there's some clean versions. But anyway, so he performed at a UFL game. And I was like, dang, it's just crazy, man. If that was me, I would have been like, yeah, I might go pull up and go watch a football game with Ludacris. But I don't think it really moved the needle. Maybe Gucci can this weekend with the Stallions game. But anyway, we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Plus, the NFL draft's coming up, man. It's right around the corner. I believe it's, what is it, next Thursday? We're about a week away, right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think it's a week away.
Yeah, I think it's next Thursday. So we'll definitely start kind of diving back into that conversation, especially next week. We'll start doing all that, maybe predicting who we might think could be a first round draft pick, second round. I want to play a game next week. I got to stop giving out my ideas, man. But I do want to play a game trying to, you know, guess each round for every Alabama guy that is in this year's draft. So we'll get into all of that next week. So a lot of exciting stuff, but today will be where our feet are, and that's going to be projecting Alabama starting offense. I got a graphic that I'm getting ready to throw up here on X. So if you guys want to check that out, and of course, I accidentally just discarded the tweet, so I'm going to have to restart. No big deal. But I also put it on the screen here. So we'll be doing that. We'll be taking a look here in a second about who we think are going to be Alabama starters for this upcoming season. Now, I think, at least for me, this is what I realized when I was doing this. I didn't have trouble for about 9 of the positions. There's maybe 2 that I'm kind of like, I guess maybe 3. We'll get to that here in a second. The injury to Noah Rogers really threw me off with the receivers. I had that one on lock before the injury. Then once he got hurt, I think it's almost kind of a toss-up right now, because I think you might move some guys around, especially going off of what we had seen at A-Day and where certain guys lined up. But we'll dive into that, and I want to get y'all's thoughts on it when I do put it on X. So make sure you follow us over there. That way you can see it. And I also have it on the screen of the streams. But for all the radio listeners, don't you worry, guys. You know me. I'm going to go in depth, and I'm going to make sure I really explain it in detail so you see exactly. You can visualize it. If you're not driving, just feel free to pull up the stream. That also helps. Looks like we got ourselves a visitor, and he's in a much better – listen – I love being in the Lamparello Law Studios here. I mean, I take pride in them, man. We got some beautiful lights in the background. We got the beautiful, you know, helmets and the jersey on display. And then in the top, you can see right next to that Panthers jersey, we have our latest addition, man, our newly received Abby Award that we received from the weekend. So I love being in the Lamparello Law Studios, man. It's comfortable. But I'm looking at the Pastor Payne right now. I see nice baby blue skies. I see some nice trees in the background, but correct me if I'm wrong. You're not on a boat, are you?
You know, you heard that song, Something About a Boat. You know what I mean? I'm on a, what we call a...
That's beyond a boat.
So, this is my friend. I'm on Rice Quarters, a great friend of mine and yours. You've been on here.
I don't know about the boat. I know Mr. Rice, but I don't know. I don't remember being on the night. Beautiful craft you're on right there, man.
You're on the small Rice Quarters. This is the new one. This is where I've been coming for 20 plus years, during the week of Monday after the Masters. You know, I just left North Myrtle Beach with the Hootie Boys. And by the way, I finished second in the tournament. The 30th year anniversary, I finished second. Me and Chesson Hadley.
How much did you contribute? Because, I mean, you are the king. You are the king of participation trophies here. Literally,
but my putter. I mean, because these guys hit the 340. I mean, Chesson hit one 350. I mean, like, why am I even going to pull my driver? I don't have that kind of pride. Right? Mm. So, listen, I'm going to sit in the car.
Wait. You're telling me, out of all people, Mr. 300, Mr. former NFL linebacker, Miss Mr. I got watermelons biceps. And I made these biceps from lifting watermelons. They're looking a little smaller these days, but you're telling me you don't take pride in driving the ball no more? I mean,
not when dude that's 190 pounds hitting a 340 and embarrassed me hitting a 240. So listen, yes, I take pride and just sitting there and watching them in excellence. Wow. I chip and putt and made eagle putts, things like that, doing which help us get to second place. So I contribute. It's a team sport, captain's choice. But anyway, I come there and Mr. Rice and his family, great friends of mine. And of course, I broadcasted from TV. I broadcast from my radio show back in the day. I've been here sometimes on the top. I'm on the main level right here now. As you can see, some yachts there in the background. This is Harbortown. The heritage is going on right now as we speak, just to my left over here. And so I said, you know, I'm going to definitely get on the show this week and hang out. This award-winning broadcast. Congratulations to you, by the way. You've done most of the work. I just, you know, kind of like with that song, hanging out in the passenger side, best friend ride, hollering at me. You know, that's kind of what I do. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not a scrub, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I'm just riding. Yeah. You know what I mean? I ride a little something in the show. But I was part of the startup of it, though, for sure. It got us
I added you and made sure we had you on the graphic thing, man. Listen, you got to give credit where it's due. And while the consistency is definitely not quite there, man, you can't deny the entertainment aspect and everything you do, Bram. People love when you're on here, and it makes the show, you know, the true dynamic of it right now. I love the whole solo thing and being Mr. Analytical, but let's just call a spade, man. People like the back and forth, right? That's kind of what makes us unique. So, no, absolutely.
We're going to turn that up. If I'm going to be on here more like now that I've officially resigned as pastor of the church, so... I'll be on here for sure more. I'll take the summer down and football season. I'm ready to go.
Let me say this real quick because Mike had a great comment here. He and it's perfect. You just mentioned that, so you took a step back from the church. It might be time for a new nickname. Mike has a good one. How about the Captain of Pain? I mean, you're on a yacht. I kind of like it. I kind of like the Captain of Pain. I mean, you're in the Hall of Captains at South Carolina too. I mean, it works. The Captain of Pain. I mean,
well, you know,
I'm not saying you're still doing your ministry work, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm doing Giant for Christ, what I speak of, you know, as an evangelist. But listen, this place, you've been here, and I was thinking about this morning. I brought you and CJ here.
There's a picture of it.
Right, y'all were little, and I was doing Easter weekend. We came here, was on the boat. We did a sunrise. I made y'all get up out the bed with blankets, took the blankets off the hotel room bed, and we went out there at the ocean and did sunrise service. Y'all probably didn't care, but that was good. But yeah, they ask about you all the time. Yeah, the picture. They keep up with you. They follow the show, and they said congratulations. They're talking about last night. Very, very proud Gamecocks, and proud of you for sure. But yeah, man, listen. If we get enough sponsors, then we can get a yacht, and we just travel around and do shows from the yacht. You know where it's warm. You know what I mean? Like this 75 degrees. I mean, I got boats. I wish I could walk out here and show it to you.
Feel free if you feel like getting up, just don't mess the setup up because I don't want you. Knowing you, man, you get knocked off offline, and then it's just going to take a year to get back. But I'll say this, man. Listen, I'm all for the idea. I love the water. Now I wish I could turn my camera, but I can't really do that. But I got fish I like the deep sea fish, whether it's going, you know, snapper fishing to even freshwater. I love being on the water. So
I'm gonna get up right now because I think this is my friend Mark Bryan from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Okay.
He just bought a nice boat. Let me see if I can turn this camera around.
Okay, so everybody's getting boats. How about this? Because we got to hit a timeout. So while you show us on the stream, we're going to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll dive into some of this football talk. He might actually dive into the water because he's literally on the water on a beautiful, beautiful yacht owned by Mr. Rice, who is very well known over in the Carolinas. Hey, tell Mr. Rice now. I mean, listen. I know we cover Alabama, but I'm all for, you know, mention a little bit of the Gamecock talk. You know, we got an open title sponsor. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, maybe we could work something out with Mr. Rice. Great guy there. Great guy. Wow.
Yeah, well, he already sponsored time. He sponsored time for Christ the ministry. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, we could do a little something. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We will be projecting those offensive starters. We will hear from Brandon Clear at 11:30 and Mr. Adam at 12 and Gray Robertson at 12:30. We're loaded. We're live from Hilton Head and the Lamp.
Right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Roll Tide. The best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Man, I'm pretty jealous here. I had no idea the Pastor Payne was jumping on. Now we're really loaded up. But, of course, man, he's sitting in a, what do you call that? A bay or what do you call that?
I'm on the back porch.
No, 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 I'm saying like where they're parked at. Like what's the proper term?
Right? This is,
like I go RBC, fishing, right? I don't, I'm saying like the marina. The marina. There you go. Thank you. I was about to say, yeah. I'm normally fishing. I'm not on luxury yachts like you're sitting on right now. Very nice stuff, though. All right, let's do this. We're going to get into the starting projected offense.
I don't have no national championship, though, or SEC championship. So you got something over there?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, and I got my hand printed in Denny Chimes. Now, I don't know how much it's worth because they give you a hard time just about going on the field for a spring game, but we'll cross that bridge at another time. Listen, I know you didn't attend A-Day, but I'm curious, though, have you seen, I know you've been busy, you've been literally traveling the world on yachts and golf tournaments and concerts and whatever all else you're doing. Have you seen any of, like, the noise, anything we've been talking about? Have you heard anything about Alabama coming out of A-Day? There's a lot of clips online.
Man, I heard more than watch, obviously. You know, I heard all of it. I love the interview. I was listening to it while I was playing golf, actually, with Kalen DeBoer. That was an excellent interview. You ask him good questions without, you know, putting him on the spot. And I thought it was very solid. But, yeah, I think for me the biggest thing was Russell, because that's the biggest question mark of the spring. We can talk about all these other positions, and they're good, right? But everybody wants to know who's going to be the trigger man. But I thought was very interesting was him telling you, even though how you was kind of hyping up Keelan Russell, and he kind of downplayed the fact that how – you know, Austin was, he's had a great, you know, if you've seen him, he done, and you alluded to, he did some good things, but
kind of. I made sure to mention him.
Yeah, but he's kind of doing what I was saying that Ryan Grubb should have done when he just, you know, gift wrapped the offensive tackle job to the guy. Kalen said, you know what? Yeah, I know the guy balled out. He knows everything, you know, but I need to make sure I keep Austin Mack. And tell him about good things he has done. I'm not going to allow this one performance that people actually had a chance to see, you know, downgrade what Austin Mack has done. But I think you're right. You know, when you ask him, you know, what is he looking for to name a starter, I think he kind of did a great job of, you know, avoiding some, you know what I mean? Like, he answered everything except your question there. But like, dude, what is it? Is it, you know, you talked about managing the team and, you know, is it big play potential? Is it, you know, leadership? You know, he didn't really say. I kind of said all those things, obviously. But to me, the biggest thing was I thought Austin Mack's going to be – I still think that. I still think he's going to be the starting quarterback just because he has a tad bit more experience. And it's not A-Day, you know, where you can kind of just get there and just grip it and rip it. But – Austin played in the playoffs, not national championship game, but the playoffs, and he was at least out there. And I think he can command the huddle. I think he has a little bit more of a voice that the players, the teammates are going to listen to. It's a sound that they're familiar with. And then we talk about the sound, you know, of your play caller. It means something. And I think he has that over Keelan Russell. Now, I think that it's going to be a short stint. I think he may start the season, but I think it's going to be hard to keep Russell off the field because of that big play potential. He can make all the throws. He can extend plays. He can move around. So for me, the other stuff didn't matter to me. I was really wanting to see what Russell did because I know you were very high on him. You kept saying, I'm trying to tell you, And it turns out that he showed up. He showed up and he showed out. And yep. So that being said, I think that was a big, big thing for me. Now, I know they had a couple of practices after the with A-Day, which I don't know if I ever heard of that before. But I think the main thing, you get out safe. Hopefully they didn't have any devastating injury and that type of thing.
Well, funny you mentioned that. Noah Rogers, the transfer wide receiver from North Carolina State, in fact, did tear his knee. Now, that I will say, I was very proud of the interview. I was really happy with the questions, and I think a lot of people really appreciate it because, like you said, it was definitely probably a little bit different than what people are used to when they ask him. I asked him some very valid questions that fans wanted to hear, but made sure I did the right way. I knew I was against the time, and I didn't get to ask him about the update on Noah Rogers, but luckily, he was back on the station on Ryan's show, and Ryan asked him that. He actually, in fact, I was surprised because, like you said, he definitely didn't hit all of my questions directly, but he actually gave a pretty detailed update on Noah Rogers, and it turns out that it was a pretty devastating lower extremity injury that's going to sideline him at least into the first probably half of the season. So that was unfortunate, and that was the biggest one coming out of it, which you always hate to hear, especially in the spring game. But it doesn't matter if it's a spring game, spring practice, or even just workouts. I mean, any given day, something can happen like that, and unfortunately, it did. But I'll say this, to your points about Austin Mack, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, and I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah, everything I've been describing about Keelan Russell, about, listen, he's going to make those wild plays. He's explosive. He can do that. He's fast. But he's going to have a couple throws here. That I literally said that before A-Day, a week before A-Day, and that's exactly what everybody saw on A-Day. It was like 100%. However, if you asked me a couple weeks ago that, yeah, what you're describing would, if I felt that would be the case, like Austin Mack would probably have that slight edge and at least maybe get the initial nod, hence why he also got the initial nod at A-Day. He started off with the ones during A-Day. Now, they both worked in with both groups, but he technically was the starter. I would have agreed with you. However, with some of the, I guess, the progress that we've seen out of Keelan over the course of this spring, I think he's way ahead than I even anticipated him being. And with that said, I think there's more of a chance than ever we even see him start off the season as a quarterback, one, going into that East Carolina game. Now, I'm not saying it's a set deal because, like you mentioned, Coach DeBoer did a good job of saying, listen, we're really pleased with where he's at. We're really impressed with what he did. However, Austin's done some really good stuff this spring. Austin has so many throws that he's made that if we made a highlight reel, fans would be so impressed. Like, and I can vouch, Austin is playing really good football as well. It's just the winner of the day was Keelan Russell. There's no doubt about it. From the explosive plays, even to just the movement of the offense, right? Things flowed better when he was in command. And I say the word command, he has every bit of it. You mentioned that voice, and surprisingly, for the younger guy, if you listen to his teammates when they are interviewed and they talk about him, they say, oh, man, it's like a video game when he's in there. They rave about him to the point where what you're describing is typical for an older player, and I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong. I just think this situation might be a little bit different with Keelan Russell because it even feels different to me because I'm like, man, he's ahead of the curve. The way the team responds to him, you can tell he's got this stamp of approval by his guys. I mean, it's a little bit different than some of the expected dynamics of a quarterback battle. So it's really interesting, but by no means is it over. And I keep reiterating that, it's not over. Keelan Russell has definitely covered a lot of ground, and I think it's really tough at this point to make that decision. But we'll have to see. We got to hit a timeout.
But to me, if you come out of spring as QB1, and they're not going to announce it, obviously, but
no.
In the meeting rooms, with Ryan Grubb and the quarterback coach and the board, they know who's the guy.
Right.
There's no doubt they know who the guy is right now. They're going to try to play it to the fan base, but they know who the guy is. And to me, I think it's Austin Mack, and I think it's a short-lived position because I think you can't hold this guy back. And somebody in the chat even mentioned this. We can talk about NIL era and the money that you're paying, how long he's going to be happy if he's not starting. So as a coach, you got to really now be a GM too, and how you manage your roster. That's extremely important.
Yeah, it is. We got to hit timeout. We come back, we'll keep the conversation going. We'll be joined by Brandon.
Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, priced at $54,529.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
Lick 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go on the phone lines and visit with our first guest of the day. We got Mr. Brandon Clear himself, man. I don't know if you guys keep up with these terms, man. I see this on social media. I think I might have mogged him a little bit too much last week. He came on the stream, man. Now he had to call in. He didn't want to pop up and show face. I think he got intimidated. Now the Pastor Payne's on here too. So
I'm kidding.
He has some work stuff. I'm being funny. He told me ahead of time. I'm just being silly. Brandon, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? Hey, Pastor, let me hold something. I heard you on a yacht.
What you want, a Canada Dry or water? Hey,
man, and whatever you can bless me with, man, you are anointed. I need some, man. Let me hold some. I got two kids. Well,
I'm going to have to spit in my hands and put it in your hands and say, Lord, give me some labor. Like Jesus spit his hand in the mud and put mud on the man's eye. He was able to see.
You know what I mean? you picked the worst references possible when you kill on the show.
I'm gonna lay hands in his hand, so he should let him hold.
Yeah, man, spitting on hands and exchanging hands. I mean, how about turn water into wine? I mean, how about the story about turning water into wine is just a little bit.
That's
you know,
what all you
later for radio.
Jesus turned water into wine, and he gave them the best wine. They were drinking booze for him until he got there, and Jesus gave him top shelf.
He's a trip, man. He's a trip. Hey, Brandon, let's talk about A-Day, man. It's Thursday. We haven't had a chance to touch base since A-Day. Now, I know you mentioned you got some stuff going on, so you couldn't quite make it. But I know you're in the loop, man. You keep up with all the intel and all the content that's being pushed out there, man. Tell me, what'd you walk away with after hearing all the things, especially, you know, Keelan Russell, the defense looking pretty good, running game still work in progress. What are your overall takeaways?
So, first off, I would have to say, you know, Keelan Russell really showed up. And, you know, judging quarterbacks during the spring, man, it's always tricky because, you know, they're not getting hit. So, you know, they'll look like, you know, that's like underwear Olympics to me anytime you're judging a quarterback during the spring just because the blitzes and everything, they do come, but they're not touching them. It'll get throws off that they would typically get during a game. So, you know, I take a measured, optimistic approach on. I think Keelan had a great spring. I heard, you know, Mack was hurt. And, you know, I think a little bit of them saying that is because they want to make sure that Austin Mack isn't losing focus and feeling down on himself just because Keelan was shining during the spring. So I do believe there was an injury, but, you know, injured enough to where all of a sudden, you know, you're not necessarily throwing picks. I think that's probably a mixed bag. So, you know, I'll leave that there. But the running backs, I was hoping to see more from the running game. And, you know, I think that the offensive line is where I said I was spending most of my time. I saw some promising things. I also feel as though they got to be able to figure out. I think once Sanders gets back in at left guard, I really want to see exactly what that offensive line will look like fully established, because there were still some things I was seeing that was very reminiscent to last year. You know, guys not, you know, finishing blocks, running backs still seeming a little tentative. I think that Trayshawn Brown kid is interesting. You know, he's one of those people, he gets in open space, man. It's you're in a blender. And so, you know, Josh Jacobs has similar traits, you know, under the radar, and, you know, they really want, you know, David Correll to be the next guy up. But, you know, when opportunities are presented and God just continues to make plays, you know, with ones and then twos and threes, you just keep moving up the ranks, you know, the coach is going to have to take a hard look. And so, you know, the blocking from the running backs, that's, you know, I think that's a work in progress too. But, you know, Stephen Bumwah, for defensive side, man, Stephen Bumwah, that's a dude. If he can get his conditioning up, he might be somebody that can make a permanent impact just because, again, his athleticism is crazy. So once he figures the game out and he can really be consistent, and, you know, he's got a motor that I think that could run a little bit, you know, hotter at times because, you know, once he gets tired, he's carrying around all that muscle, you know, gets a little stagnant. So, you know, I saw promising things, man. I saw the receivers making plays, so that was encouraging. And I just, that offensive line and running game, I just got to see things progress. So, Christian, as you get over there, I know you're going to be seeing some, you know, fall practice. I'm hoping you get a good report back to us to let us know how that's going.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it all depends on kind of what you were expecting going into it. And you have a great point, even like with the quarterbacks. That's why it's like as impressive as it was for Keelan Russell. And I'm not taking anything away from it, because I even said, like, to your point, like, a number of those throws would have been sacks. We know that. But the fact was, going off of what we were seeing and the rules being he couldn't be touched, he still had to deliver the throws. And typically the DBs, they don't just stop. But now if someone blows a whistle, which they weren't, the whistle wasn't blown on those plays. The whistle was blown and, like, you know, the DBs stopped reacting. That's one thing. But everybody was still going with the play. So I still was like, hey, I'm going to give him credit for what he just did, even though in the game it probably could have been or would have been a strip sack. And we know that could have definitely had a big impact. So I do think that's –
well, anytime you're in a scrimmage like this where the quarterback got the color jersey on or just knowing that he can't be touched, it's going to give him a lot of comfortability to throw and deliver a strike down the field. You True. Know when there's live bullets, your mind, your clock, everything is sped up, right? So, and you've got to be able to make decisions quickly, right? And that's not going to happen during the scrimmage. I mean, you know, they run outside the pocket, you know, the guy kept trying to touch him too and tag, but, you know, he delivered a 40-yard bomb. Those are good, but let's just be realistic. These are not – they're not realistic. I mean, you know what I mean? So they're going to get hit. Even if they throw the ball, they're going to get ear hole. They're going to get hit. And the next time that situation arises, guess what? That quarterback's going to be thinking about that hit. So, but you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt, right? You got to just say, hey, the kid did well, but, you know, the circumstances were – set up for offenses to do well in scrimmages. So long as you go in knowing that, I mean, listen, you already said that he's got big play potential. We believe that. We've seen signs of that. But that ain't going to really matter until, I hate to use this term again, until the real bullets fly, right? You mean, if you can do that in a game and playing, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, or whoever, and you striking the ball down the field like that, that's a lot different than an A-day.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I also will say that the guy he's competing against, Austin Mack, was also under those same circumstances. So that's what I'm saying. You just have to know what Brandon's saying and what you're saying. But at the same time, they both have the same circumstances here, where it's, you know, not live for the quarterback. So, you know, you still can acknowledge one guy had a better day than the other. I'll at least will say that. Brandon, you mentioned the running game, and I think one of the biggest things that stood out, because I will say that there were some moments, they had some solid runs. I know there's some clips that have been posted. Shout out to Dwight. He's got some recorded. We took a look at some of those. Problem is that consistency is still not there. Then some of those critical moments, man, it really showed up. They're doing like some, you know, goal line situational stuff. And I want to say I don't know if they even punched one in, you know, on the ground when they were in those goal line situations, which was definitely a little bit concerning. Defense did a nice job. Got to give them credit. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on this running game? We had Coach DeBoer on the show, and I asked him, you know, what would be considered a success? And I even got to ask him straight up. I'm like, I told him I didn't know what the identity quite was last year. And he even acknowledged, you know, they're going to take a look at maybe limiting some things. That way they can find something to really hang their hat on. Are you confident that running game can get to where it needs to be this upcoming season?
I think they are, man. It's a mentality thing. Again, it's hard to judge what's in the character of a person until you talk to them and see how they operate. But, you know, I got to see some meanness, man. And, you know, I think Mike Carroll has that. But, you know, I want to see some dudes, man, like you see some hand on the ground, you stepping on it. I don't care if it's a teammate or not. I want to see some dudes pulling around the corner, man, and the whistle's blown dead, and he's driving the dude all the way to the sideline. It's just, I think you almost have to, you have to make them mean. And I don't know, look, meanness is a mentality. I'm one of the nicest dudes, man, but when I got in that zone and I was locked in, there was nothing anybody could tell me that I couldn't do, right? And so the receiver mentality is different.
Right there.
But being a defender and being an offensive lineman, bro, like Landon Collins is the quintessential, hey, when that pile is a little bit low, man, hey, watch your ACL. Something might be happening as I'm coming over. I might just trip. Left guard, you pulling? Hey, high low. We might get a penalty, but he gonna know. Oh. Hey, we're liable to go ahead and take you out, and you may not be playing this full game. So it's just, I hope Clem is able to instill that, you know, not to play too dirty. We're not talking about the Saints level, but hey, somebody might get a broken arm, somebody might get a torn ACL playing with us, and we might get a 15-yard penalty, and I'm willing to take that because it's the mentality. So I'm hoping that, you know, they allow Clem to just say, hey, this first play of the game, this might be a 15-yard penalty, but they gonna know that it's gonna be a long day. Right, and so I was encouraged. I was like, "Who's getting the penalty today? Somebody on the line getting the penalty today." So that's the mentality. I want to feel it when I'm watching the film, man. I'm like, these dudes playing patty cake a little bit. They're there. They're making the right decisions. It's finesse. But if you're gonna be doing the pool game, bro, watch Indiana when they were doing that. They were mean, bro, and they're not the biggest dudes. But when they came off the line and they were moving in sync, you just like, it didn't matter who was coming. It didn't matter if you knew if it was a draw. It didn't matter if it was a counter. None of this stuff. We were going to run the ball, and this is our scheme, and try to stop it. And nobody could.
Brandon, first of all, a couple points. You can't teach nobody to be mean. you can't teach nobody. Hey, dude, let me tell you right here. I need you to go out here and dive at an ACL, or, you know, hit him in the gonads, or whatever it is. If he's holding you, get them hands off.
I don't know if we need to go that far.
No, but my point is, you can't teach nobody to be mean. You either got that or you don't. You either got toughness or you don't. You either got physicality or you don't. That's a heart posture, right? I mean, I love what you said, because I've said this numerous times, that I could be a nice guy, quiet guy off the field, right? I'd shake hands, kiss babies, whatever, right? I get all that. But when the lights came on, it created a monster in me. I knew I had to perform. I knew I had to take this thing to a whole nother level. I understood I'm trying to get to the league. I understood that, you know, I got to buy Pampers and milk. I understood that family going to need help. So those things caused me to do whatever I had to do to succeed. But you got to just have that. You can't teach that. I mean, you can get up and make a guy run stadiums and do all that. Is not building toughness. What you're talking about, that's why I said you got to get black and mild dude that's already in them, right? You just got to get them to tone it down on when they're not playing, right? You got to go find a handful of dudes that are fighters. Right, that they might fight their own teammates. They'll fight in the locker room. You might have to go find some dudes. That's the problem with Bama. They haven't had that. They got guys that want to help people up all the time. You know what I mean? Hey, you thirsty? I'll go over and get you a cup of Gatorade. I don't want you to parch over here. You know what I mean? It's like they got guys on the team that they got a bunch of.
Well, hold on. Let me interject real quick. I will say now during A-Day, I don't think it was all that, right, in terms of the running game not being where it could have or should have been, because
running game is a problem.
No, it is a problem. I didn't say it wasn't a problem. I've been saying it's a problem. I said what y'all are explaining and expressing right here. I saw Racing Delgado, the center, right? He played with nastiness. I saw him do it in the scrimmage. I saw him do it at A-Day. He has that type of mentality. So I like that. I'll check that box. Michael Carroll, that's two. He plays with that.
Absolutely.
Now you need a few more guys that are – so what I'm getting at is there's a few guys that do it. Like Jackson Lloyd, I don't know if he has that same type of grit and intensity as the two guys I just mentioned, but he's a really good athlete. And from a technique standpoint, I think he's a really good player. So I think they have potential on the offensive line to get better. I don't know what the ceiling is for the room personally for this upcoming season. I just don't. But I do know they should be much better. Strong. They will be better by the time the season comes. I will say that. But you're right. Definitely think the mentality piece. It is hard to teach, but sometimes you can get it a little bit more out of a guy. You can't necessarily make him better. You get a little more out of him.
You asked Kalen DeBoer in the interview on Monday about the run game specifically.
Oh, and I have every detail.
I was so disappointed in his answers.
Why? He covered everything.
But it was kind of like, let me make a right here and then a left and maybe I U-turn back. I mean, listen, toughness. Brandon just talked about it. And I'm really surprised, Brandon. You know, did you play for Dabo, Brandon?
I did.
You know,
I'm surprised,
you know, because, you know, Dabo be, you know, having a Norton oil up there and communion crackers for pregame. And you know what I'm saying?
Dabo's real nice, man, but don't get it twisted. Foot to butt, man. That's what, look, he leads by it, man. Like, you have seen him on the sideline, two people out. That's real. So he'll love you.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen, anywhere, somebody. And then I see them lip service over there be dropping F-bomb like parachutes coming out of the sky.
Dude, wait, who are you talking about that? Wait, Dabo?
What?
Yeah, you talking about Dabo won't cut you out.
Man.
I saw the
side of him from recruiting, so I didn't see all that. I saw he's a solid dude, man.
But when it's game time, like, I'll tell y'all a quick story, man. I was running a hitch route, and that was first play of my career. I run a hitch route, ball bounces off my face mask. He pulled me over the sideline, said, "You think I'm going to bet my family's paycheck on you? Are you smoking crap?" Get to the back of the line. I was like, "Oh, bro. Hey, man," I was like, "Dang, man, he was loving me up. Hey, man, you're gonna kill it." Boy, as soon as that ball went off my face, man, Coach Sweeney said, "Hey, man, all love, but you're gonna feel this. I ain't, this is not tolerating any of this, man." So, you get in line, or all of a sudden you get consumed. But we do need some scumbags. I'm hoping we got some that are hidden over there that just haven't been uncovered. But that O line, like you said, it's mentality. I think Kalen DeBoer on the show said it was a mentality, bro. So I agree with the pass on that one, man. Like, you can't coach that. But hey, Richie Incognito is a prime example of someone. You might need somebody bullying some of these people, man. Respectful. Might somebody need to get bullied, bro. I don't condone bullying. Somebody need to get bullied a little bit.
Take away that ice cream truck. See, now you want the swirl vanilla chocolate. All right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Brandon,
you get
Brandon,
ice cream.
Brandon, I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you.
All love, man. I appreciate y'all. Time. Next time I'll be on the screen so Pastor can see how somebody's dressed, man, when they trying to stunt. I'm just saying.
Wait. But don't come out here with that Clemson shirt if you think that's going to impress them. Brandon, we appreciate you, man. Take care, brother.
Take care, Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout.
What's going on with him? A Clemson guy talking about Roll Tide.
He's from Birmingham. I'll explain it in a second. When we come back on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses.
Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are...
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny, just a small chance of a shower through the evening hours. The high today 85, the low tonight 64. Tomorrow a very warm day, a good supply of sunshine, the afternoon high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
1230 WTBC. We just got done talking with Brandon Clear. Big shout out to him joining us every Thursday. And now we're, let's see, I guess we only got a couple minutes right here, if that, because we're going to hit this top hour break in a second. Then we'll be joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello. We're going to continue talking about this Alabama football team as spring just concluded today. Today was the last practice. We are going to get to the projected offensive starters. I got a nice graphic that I made. I'm going to throw up on the screen. I want to get y'all's thoughts because I felt pretty good about it outside of maybe three or so positions. So that's the toughest thing for me, I think, a wide receiver spot. Of course, you know, the quarterback battle, then even maybe, yeah, I guess maybe four positions, one on the offensive line and then the running back. I think that's kind of tough. But that said, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and hit our top of the hour break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Lamparello. We'll go back to the phone lines at some point because I know we got Hunter and others lined up. We got Gray Robinson at 12:30. We'll be talking some baseball, softball action. All of that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30. WTBC, quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Warriors knocked the Clippers out of postseason contention with a 126-121 win. Steph Curry, 35 points in 36 minutes. Kristaps Porzingis adding 20. Golden State will play Phoenix on Friday for the eighth seed. The 76ers beat the Magic 109-97. 76ers will be the seventh seed in the East. The four players in first Philadelphia had 15 or more points. Tyrese Maxey had 31. Only two had that mark for Orlando. Paolo Banchero had 18. Desmond Bane, 34. Orlando that will play a home game against Charlotte to determine the eighth seed. LaMelo Ball has been assessed a flagrant 2 foul and fined $35,000 for making unnecessary and reckless contact with Bam Adebayo. He also fined $25,000 for using profanity in his post-game interview. Shohei Ohtani's scoreless inning streak was snapped at 32 and two-thirds innings as the Dodgers take care of the Mets 8-1. I'm Martin Weiss.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've got the man of the hour, Mr. Adam Lamparello, joining us via the stream, our official legal representation here on the show. And of course, football extraordinaire too. Adam, welcome in.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Always, hey, always.
How you guys doing?
Man, can't complain. Adam, can't complain. We got a number of things we'll dive into. I know we got A-Day that's taking place. We got to circle back and get your thoughts on all that. Plus, I feel like there's definitely some stuff to dive into in terms of the latest. I've seen some reports. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this stuff. I know Greg Burns come out, and I think he was talking at a panel, and he's made some interesting comments regarding NIL and just kind of the, the current state of the NCAA. And it was very, very interesting. So I want to ask some questions on that, but we'll definitely get to that here in a second. But first, Adam, if you don't mind, I do want to go to the phone lines because we do have a call. He's been waiting for quite some time. And I know you guys, you always have good insight, and I know Hunter's got a good question or two. So let's do that. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Hunter up next. Hunter, welcome in.
What's up, man?
What's going on, Hunter?
Not much. Appreciate y'all. Let's see.
Dang, did you forget your question? Come on, man. You've been waiting all this time.
Yeah,
you forgot what you wanted to ask?
Yesterday we had a good debate, I think the other day he had a good one too.
I think he must have just been caught off guard. He was like, oh man, they actually came to me.
He was waiting for a minute.
Fair enough. Hunter, go ahead. We're gonna run it back. Go ahead.
Okay. So guys, it's a fraud for everybody, right? So what's the biggest issue right now, like nobody in the fan base wants to admit right now?
With, you're talking about Alabama?
Yeah, with Bama. Let's not even bring up the O-line because everybody's going to bring up the O-line. Right? So besides the O-line, what's the biggest issue that the fan base won't admit?
I mean, we just listened to that snippet of Ty Simpson talking to Caleb Downs, and this, and for our radio listeners, you didn't hear it, but basically he talked about the Indiana game. And he just mentioned, you know, I knew everything they're going to do going into it. I knew all the coverages. I mean, I knew them like the back of my hand. But when it got time to play in these guys, their execution was flawless. And you know, being in the SEC, you know, you're used to seeing these complex coverages. They're not even doing any of that. But their execution is so perfect that it caught us by surprise. And I just can't help but just, this is just my opinion. But after hearing that response, then also remember a couple months ago when Nakai Hill-Green was talking to those guys at the Bama Standard, basically said, hey, you know, we looked at them as a Big Ten team and we didn't really respect them. I'm not saying Ty's answer sounded like he didn't respect them, but it sounded like they were selling them short, almost as if like, hey, watch them on tape. We're not really that impressive. And to me, that just sounds like, and I'll be honest, just talking to people in the building, I think going into that Indiana game, they overlooked that football team, which clearly was the wrong idea. Well, so, I mean, if you're saying a hidden thing that nobody, I would just say, to me, those games like Indiana and some of the ones that we didn't show up, I put a lot of that on, you know, lack of getting our guys prepared. And I'm just not just saying from a schematic standpoint, but also having the right mentality going into these football games. You can't have it has to be consistent. It shouldn't matter who, if you're playing East Carolina or you're playing Georgia in the SEC championship game. Every single game has to be approached the same way. And I'm not saying they don't, but from the outside looking in, it just kind of feels like that, or just going off some of the answers that some of these players have given, which, again, we had Coach DeBoer on the show Monday, and it sounds like, you know, they're really trying to pay attention to every little detail. He talked about them being in the meeting room in the morning before he came on the show and really addressing, you know, what they saw during the 8A game and really going back and cleaning things up and really tightening up those small little factors. So hopefully they're working on that. But I would say over the last 2 years, that to me has just been evident. And that's just me being completely transparent, because the Vanderbilt game, you know, Vanderbilt was not a better football team than us, but that day they were.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they had the better mentality. They were more physical. We had no answer to stop what they were doing. They run a form of option on offense, right? With Pavia, and I get it, it's tough to defend, but defensively we were not prepared correctly for that football game. We could not get off the field on third down, and that was why we lost the game. They also dominated the time of possession, which was a direct reflection of not getting off the field.
Oh,
and then, yeah. Excuse me. Same thing with, you know, Indiana. We're hearing that, like, schematically, man, we got outplayed, right? We got outcoached. Even the Georgia game, I get Georgia was a much different football team, you know, during the SEC championship than that Week 4 team that we played. There's no doubt about it. That Georgia team got much better. The offensive line, the defense, it was a totally different football team. But even just from a schematic standpoint, and just our guys is not really showing up. I know we had injuries, but that's one thing that I think needs to be cleaned up. But that's just me being transparent. I mean, I hate to put that out there like that, but it's just when you look at some of the games that we've lost, that to me comes to mind. It's not that those other teams were much better football team than us. It seemed like we didn't have the proper mentality or preparation to go out there and execute and be successful. So that would be my answer. Adam, you want to add anything or?
Yeah, I think it's three things. Number one, mindset. Number two, physicality. Number three, consistency. Mm. When Ty Simpson, who I have the utmost respect for, says that they knew what Indiana was doing and they still got beat like that, that is shocking. It tells me that they just, I hate to say, got their asses kicked. And for me is something that is really alarming. And if I could just make a quick point of reference and going back 10 years, let's go back 10 years and let's look at Alabama's defense. You, of course, Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, Deron Payne, Rashawn Evans, Sean Deon Hamilton, Minka Fitzpatrick, Anthony Jennings, Levi Wallace, Marlon Humphrey, stars all over the field. But most importantly, they were physical players who played like they were pissed off. And that's the kind of toughness and grit that you need to be successful in football and in life. I mean, I remember a game that you played. I think it was in Oxford against Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I think you sacked the quarterback like three times or something. And I remember there was one play when I was watching that game where you basically went straight at the offensive lineman, ran right through him, broke to your right, and nailed the quarterback. And it was just like you could tell the physicality that you played with. That's what I think is missing. And hopefully it will improve. But what Corey said about NIL, I think, is really relevant. Because the problem with NIL is it puts the prize before the process. You know, giving people millions of dollars, but have they earned it? No. There's something to be said in football and in life about busting your ass and going through hell. And I think that that's a contributing factor to what we see is a problem, not just with Alabama, but with a lot of teams.
Wow. Very well said. Yeah. Hunter, I mean, I feel like those some good answers, man. Adam definitely took the... Adam takes the award right there.
You don't see the physicality anymore. You don't see like punch in the mouth. Like you don't see it.
I will say this, that I feel like there are times that I have seen, I want to give just some of those guys credit, right? Or certain players that definitely display, like Red Morgan, man. Red Morgan plays with that type of mentality, right? I feel like I see that from him consistently, but that's the biggest word. Consistency. You know, I've seen our defense has moments where they are flying to the football, right? Justin Hill, he's a dog. He's physical, right? Yonze has his moment. Like, I think they have some dudes that can do it, some guys that can set the tone, but you need more people doing it and you need to be doing it at a consistent rate. That to me is probably one of the biggest challenges for them as they approach this next football season. Because listen, they've done some really good. So I want to be clear. Like we've taken a lot of time to definitely be very honest here with your question, but I also want to point to some things that they have a lot of positives too that they can build off, and they do a lot of really good stuff as well. They just have to clean up the stuff that we're talking about to really make the difference from, you know, being good to being great, right? I mean, they're not too far off. I mean, they made it to the SEC championship game last year. That's no easy feat, especially if you look at who we had to play to get there. All right, you got some really good football teams in this conference, some physical football teams. We only lost two regular season games. That was to Florida State and to Oklahoma in a really close one, right? So I want to be clear. I mean, it does sound like the sky's falling when you do kind of open these wounds and you're very honest about this stuff. But that's not to say you're that far off and it can't be fixed. I just think it has to, you know, it takes a lot of attention to detail in those small little
details. They went 10 and 2.
In the regular season, they went 10-2. They only lost one conference game, and that was in a close game.
What was their final record? What was their final record?
Their final record was, what would it have been, like 11-4, because they picked up another win against Oklahoma and lost two to Georgia and, in Oklahoma. But what I'm saying, but listen, look at us in the conference, though, against these good football teams that are also physical football teams going on the road, beating Georgia, a physical football team with an outstanding reputation at
Georgia
home.
Georgia.
It was early. I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying. So listen, I'm not denying. Listen, I agree with everything we're talking about. I'm just trying to flip it and say there are a lot of positives too.
Say Alabama got worse. They didn't get better. Teams normally get better, right? You want to hit the championship, the playoffs with momentum, your trajectory upwards. They got worse. All right, and so my whole point is I hear what you're saying, and you know, you can see these pretty blue skies out here at Harvard Town. You know, But really, in Alabama, there's a thunderstorm. There's dark clouds and it's raining.
That's way far-fetched. You're saying that about a team that just played in the SEC championship game last year. That sounds silly.
They got in there by default.
What do you mean by default?
Because Texas A&M lost is the only reason they made it to that season. So that was
you realize that we lost by 2 points after playing a bad game at home against Oklahoma, right? That was really what knocked us out. If that never happened, right, regardless, we would have been in it. Yeah. That was the only loss we had. Go ahead.
I mean, Bama had the head-to-head over Georgia, so realistically, Bama was first in the SEC going into the SEC tournament.
All I'm saying is it really is about perspective. You're right, Hunter, but what I'm getting at is about perspective. There's no way you're telling me I'm sunshine pumping right now, because I literally just was brutally honest with what's going on. He's pointing to the sky, Hunter. No, I'm not doing that at all. I'm being a realist by saying, listen, it's the glass half full, glass half empty. If you look at it from glass half full, you'll say Alabama in year two, or Kalen DeBoer in year two, made it to the SEC championship game and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Georgia has not won a playoff game in several years. You have to respect that. That's the truth. That's a fact. That does not mean Alabama is a finished product. That does not mean that they don't have any of the issues that we've talked about. Two things can be true, but I just think your perspective right now is glass half empty by saying, oh, gray cloud. How are you saying a team has, a school has gray clouds that I'm just played in the SEC championship and in the playoffs and won a game on the road? No, I'm saying, how is that gray clouds? Let me ask you a question. So does Georgia have gray clouds, even though they won back-to-back SEC championships, but they also have not won a playoff game in several years? So they have gray clouds? What about Oregon? What about Oregon? Does Oregon have gray clouds?
Yes.
So at this rate, you would say every school in the country has gray clouds except two.
I'm saying.
Who does not have gray clouds?
Indiana didn't have them last year.
No, I'm talking about right now, because you're not even high on Indiana going in this year. So tell me who right now is this perfect program?
I don't know, because it's too early. You can't say nobody now. Let's just deal with the elephant in the room. Alabama has, I go by history, right? If Adam was prosecuting or defending the case, he gonna go back, because that's what lawyers do. You know, they go back and they start pulling up cases, right? Then they'd be saying, this is so-and-so versus Wade back in 1976, and this happened. Am I right, Adam? They go back and they look at history, because history helped their point. It helped them build their case. Well, I'm looking at history. My case is this. The history of Kalen DeBoer at Alabama has been, to me, a case of a lot of failure. Yeah, you can tell me about they did this. Yes. Losing to Vanderbilt, getting drugged by Oklahoma, getting dominated in the run game, lack of physicality, a man.
You're pointing out every negative. You're skipping over every positive.
I'm just saying.
You're skipping every positive.
They got dominated.
You're looking at it from one lens. That's one. So I'm saying, like, how? But this is your problem. What I'm doing, you're saying it's some sort of problem because I'm looking at both. I'm looking at the whole picture. I'm not doing what you're doing by saying, okay, I'm only going to pick out the negatives. Like, that's crazy to say. Like, come on, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's your mentality. But then
most people in the chat, most people that call in is, we're not physical. Oh, we got, they're complaining.
Two things. So it can't be that nice. I'm not disagreeing with those points, though. That's what you're missing. I've already agreed with you. Those are the things that need to get better. Like, two things can be true.
Adam,
but for you to say, for you to.
Adam, I'll let you, Adam, so you have his moment, because this conversation is absolutely ludicrous.
Let Hunter respond. Hunter, you can respond.
I will say this, though. I mean, you can't lie. Bama going all the way to an SEC title, winning a playoff game, and going to the Rose Bowl with absolutely no run game, it's pretty impressive. Can we agree on that?
Since I'm at the golf course, let's give you a slow clap, Hunter. You know what I mean? There you go. Oh, we did it.
Hunter, listen, I'm on the same page.
We went to the SEC championship 2.5 hours down the road.
Did South Carolina went to Cancun or Hilton Head, where you're at? Because they didn't play in any postseason.
Oh, man.
about a coach that wears
and then but Hunter, listen, I hate to do it, but we gotta hit this timeout, man. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, you're
good. Hey, really good stuff, man. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. I told you Hunter was going to bring some good stuff. Listen, he not even realize I muted him, man. It's beauty of me being able to control it now. All right, we got to hit this timeout. We come back. We'll let Adam open up and talk some more. We got some stuff we'll dive into right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
For our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamssvcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny, just a small chance of a shower through the evening hours. The high today, 85, the low tonight, 64. Tomorrow, a very warm day, a good supply of sunshine, the afternoon high, 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world,
download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
way, guys. Sorry, we got so many conversations going. It's some really good stuff, though. I like days like this, man. This feels competitive.
Mama right? said they're going to be days like this where it can be sunny and 80 degrees.
Oh, God. All right, so we only got a couple minutes here before we hit this next break. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello himself. You guys know him, of course, our official legal representation here on the show. So make sure if you guys are in a situation, hopefully you don't find yourselves there. But, hey, stuff happens. We've learned that. We've been talking about a number of different things. Make sure you guys check out Lamparello Law. You can always find Adam here on the show. He does join us every Thursday. Gives us some really good insight on a number of things that you're hearing right now. Really fresh perspective. But also, if you need any help with any of those situations, whether it's NIL, First Amendment cases, and of course, any other criminal defense matters, even on top of that, high school, graduate, and college students, if you need help with mentoring, exam and test taking preparation, application strategy, personal statements, long-term academic and professional plan, they've got you covered. Genuine care, passion, and relentless advocacy, just like he provides for us here on the show. And, but of course, those rates are better than anywhere that you'll find. 201-317-5115 for those affordable rates and representation, and also all of the help with all the students. Again, that is Lamparello Law. Adam at Lamparello-Law.com or the website Lamparello-Law.com. Yeah. Our guy, yeah. Adam Lamparello.
Give a brother a call.
Adam, we only got like 2 minutes before we hit this next time out, man. You want to put a bow on kind of what we just were hitting on, man? Because I know you're kind of like the... You like the judge in this case. I know you're a lawyer, but I feel like you're the judge, man. I've pleaded my case. He's over here pleading and spewing out his witchcraft today. I don't know what got a hold of him.
Make the decision, Adam. Make the decision. Who
talk
wins?
Talk to me, Adam. How do you feel about that whole thing, man? Is Alabama really in this spot that he's describing? Am I sunshine pumping, or you think? What do you think, Adam?
I think that you both make excellent points. And my opinion, or shall I say my quote-unquote judgment, is that although Alabama has a lot of talent, if they want to return to the standard, the Alabama standard, they will have to play with more physicality and more mental toughness, because the way that we lost to Georgia and Indiana was not the Alabama standard. And I say that with all due respect. So the question is going to be, what is the culture like going forward? So at this point, what I see is a potential for an 8-4 season. However, we have to take the long-term view too. This is not the next season is not the end of the road. We're at a fork in the road. Are we going to embrace physicality and be the bullies that we were, so that what happened against Indiana and Georgia never happens again? Or are we going to continue down a path where, sure, we have some explosive playmakers, but when it comes down to winning and losing, it's all about the trenches. And right now, it's not, in my opinion, where it needs to be. And I say that respectfully.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. And I agree with what you're saying.
So basically, he just said.
He basically said everything that I've been saying. He said everything that I've been saying. Listen,
no, you can take the credit.
I'm not taking credit. What I'm saying is he's echoing a lot of the same sentiments, meaning like even going back a couple months when we sat on the show, who has been the one, even when the fans were going off about last season, who has been the one that has sat here with not sunshine pumping, but saying, let's call a spade a spade. There were two glaring, or really three things that came up last season that really took all the attention off of everything that was done. That was because the first impression of the 2025 football team was going on the road and losing to Florida State in a very embarrassing fashion. The reason I say very embarrassing, not because of the scoreboard, but because of how we lost. When we turn on the tape, we break down tape all the time here. When I see guys jogging to the football, when I see us getting blown off the line of scrimmage, when I see us looking like we're kind of tucking our tail, that was hard to watch. But that was the first impression that all of the fans and everybody watching got of Alabama last season. They did a nice job of kind of reclaiming that reputation. We had a great first half of the season. The offense was one of the best in the country, finding ways, even though we didn't run the football well, to control the time of possession through the air. Ty Simpson looked like the number one quarterback for half the season. And then, like my dad mentioned, the offense got worse. Defense got better, I would say, as the course of the season went on. And then how do we finish the season? Right? In a very similar fashion. An embarrassing loss to a really good Indiana team, but still. So we started the season with a really bad game. We ended it with a really bad game. What are people going to focus on? Those two moments. if you take away even one of those, I feel like it can even make a big difference on the outlook on last season. We got to hit this timeout. We come.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
So you can stay focused on whatever you're doing. Dell Technologies, built for you. Dell.com/DellPCs.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless...
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-403-5566. That's 800-403-5566. 800-403-5566.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Back to the phone lines. It's time we got a partner in crime over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Gray Robertson. Gray, welcome in, man. Good Thursday to you.
What's up, partner? I am currently hanging out on the roof of my building counting the 18-wheelers that are parked outside Brian Denny for the Morgan Wallen concert, and I can confirm it is 42. There are 42 18-wheelers parked in front of Brian Denny right now.
42 trucks? Like 18 wheels? Yeah. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I just counted them while I was on hold. Insane.
Goodness gracious. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, at least you kind of got a free concert, man. As close as proximity as you are, I don't think you really need to bother getting a ticket. Maybe you did, but heck, maybe I'd just come scan in or something, go sit up on the balcony, because I sure as heck did not pay for those tickets. But yeah, you should have a great, great spot if you wanted to listen to it. Pretty cool stuff there. 42 trucks. I'm trying to envision where you say it in front of Brian. Then like where though? Where do you feel?
So there are eight kind of in that parking lot, the staff parking lot, right adjacent to the Walk of Champions, and then the grassy lot where Crimson Tide Sports Marketing has some pregame events. There are 34 others.
Okay. Yeah, that's still kind of hard to visualize, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, the parking lot and the grass, that's a lot. Gray, I got to ask you, speaking of the stadium, we had A Day this past weekend. Now, I'm sure you probably were calling something or busy. I know you got your hands full this spring, but I imagine you've heard some of the noise coming out of A Day. Keelan Russell having a big day, people excited about that. Some of these young wide receivers doing some impressive stuff. Defense definitely looking solid. Any takeaways, Gray, from A-Day? Anything that maybe kind of caught your attention, something you might not have expected, anything like that?
I think I was a little surprised by the statistical gap between Keelan Russell and Austin Mack in this mm-hmm. game. And, you know, you're right, I wasn't there. But I certainly was keeping up with everything going on, tracking what the writers were saying and kind of what the buzz was. And it was a little surprising to me how kind of clear it seems. I'm sure it's not that obvious who the starting quarterback is going to be, and Austin Mack is doing things in practice to make it competitive, but based on A-Day, Keelan Russell seems like he's got that bad boy locked and loaded. And I also thought it was interesting that a lot of the fan reaction seemed to be negative about the defense, and it seemed a lot of the media reaction was more, I think that's just because the offense was pretty good. So, you know, A-Day is always tough because you're playing yourself, which means somebody's doing something good and somebody's doing something bad every single play, if that's how you want to grade it. But it seemed, frankly, like a lot of people were really excited about the young pieces that I know we've been discussing on the show a few times.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I put out a projected starters list for offense, and it was interesting, man, because I had a tough time. Noah Rodgers, he went down with that injury, and he's going to be out mm-hmm. sideline for a long time. But trying to figure out on my card, I mean, Ryan's probably going to move to Z. Lotz here we know is going to be that slot at H. But at X, man, you know, they used Sadarian Morgan a lot inside during A-Day. He moved all around, but his frame is, I mean, it's like a prototypical X, man, 6'4", 223, and he did some really good stuff. But the problem I had was Derek Meadows was also really impressive at A-Day, and he was very consistent. And I actually wanted to put Derek Meadows as the starter at X after all these receivers did some good stuff. Rico Scott looked good as well, but ultimately went with Sadarian Morgan because I'm just like, man, when you got a young guy as talented as him, and I could see them kind of moving these guys around and doing different things. I don't know. I just felt like it made sense. But anyway, I brought that up because you mentioned a lot of young guys doing some good stuff. The receivers, that group, I thought a lot of players did some really good things. Gray, I want to get your thoughts real quick, man. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, but we always need the updates on baseball and softball, man. Tell us the latest. Both programs continuing to do some really good stuff, man. What's been going on since last time we talked to you, and what's in store coming up?
You know, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. We'll start on the softball side because, you know, last time I was with you, I was standing on the dock getting ready to watch Alabama and Auburn, and Alabama swept Auburn, allowed one run across three games. Pitching was outstanding. And then Tuesday, kind of the stunner of the year, arguably, in maybe the sport. There's one other argument for it, but Alabama went to Samford and lost 3-2, and it was just kind of a perfect storm of everything that could go wrong, did go wrong, and you did not execute well enough to win the game. Alabama was 0 for 12 with runners on, and I really don't care who you're playing. If that's how you hit situationally, you're not going to win. And it was just one of those nights where we learned, I think, like, we saw what happens when the team doesn't respond well to adversity, because they have for the most part this year. And now you kind of get to see, I think, how this team is going to embrace the hard. Like, this is this was a hard game on Tuesday, and you've got alumni weekend coming in. You've got Kentucky, who's last in the SEC. They've lost 17 straight SEC games. Like, everything says it should be a party, and you should be able to rock and roll and run rule the Wildcats three times. And I think Tuesday was a reminder that you can't just show up and expect to do that. You've got to make sure that you perform, that you execute, that you do all the little things right to get the big thing, which is a win. And hopefully that's the kind of message that has been received loud and clear, because I even though Alabama lost to a team just inside the top 100 of the RPI on Tuesday, nothing about the ceiling changes for me. I still think they're very capable of winning the SEC and winning the national championship. And then baseball, just a tough weekend, just a really tough weekend at home, getting swept by Arkansas, kind of a struggle for the bullpen. And, you know, after softball, we came back and were able to watch a lot of the baseball games. And it was just a lot of these games got away from them. And again, it's kind of a little bit of a wake-up call on the baseball side as well, that, you know, every weekend is a fight, and if you don't bring your best in the SEC, you're going to lose. And after bringing their best so often over the last month, it just wasn't there consistently this weekend. So I think overall in the Diamond Sports, kind of a week of learning, Christian, for everybody.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounds like that, and hopefully they can all kind of get that consistency back, because how far away are we from some of the postseason stuff coming up, Greg? Kind of what's left on the calendars for both of them?
Well, baseball goes about 2 weeks longer regular season than softball goes, and we're down to the final 3 weeks of the regular season. I mean, we were talking this week while I was doing bracketology and, you know, starting to chart seeds and all that jazz. We're a month away from regionals in the NCAA tournament, so it really does sneak up on you, and this is the time where you got to make sure everything's fine-tuned so everyone's clicking on all cylinders once we're at regional play in about a month.
That makes perfect sense. Well, Greg, I want to segue real quick back to football. Real last minute question here, because me and my dad got into a nice little debate here, man. And he's the type where he's more on the glass half empty, right? I'm gonna be on the glass half full side of things. But we were discussing things, and he was just taking a look back at the last season that we had, and then also kind of looking ahead. And he's under the impression that, hey, man, Alabama, the fashion in which they lost, which we all can agree was not up to the standard, right? And that definitely, that took a lot of attention off of even some of the good that they did. But he's even saying that, you know, looking forward, you got a young team, young offensive line. I feel like there's some gray clouds in the sky. How would you assess kind of Alabama's year from last season, and then also moving forward into this season, kind of the trajectory and the projection of this football team?
I think Alabama was better last year than they were 2 years ago. Now, I don't necessarily think that led to a major change in results, but I felt like the gameplay was better. As you know, as it pertains to kind of how the program is viewed, it's interesting. I had this conversation last night with a friend of mine on the softball side who won three national championships at Oklahoma. And last night, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma 6-4 in Bedlam in Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma State went crazy. And we're texting, and she said, I hate how they celebrated like they just won the World Series. And I said, well, here's my counter. As long as teams, when they beat you, keep celebrating like that, that tells me that you as a program are okay. And as long as teams keep storming the field if and when they beat Alabama, that tells me that the program is still viewed as up at the top of the mountaintop. So have the last 2 years been results-wise top of the mountaintop? Maybe not necessarily. But is that still the perception of Alabama? I think it will be until there's a year that forces people to change that view. And it's hard not to see, for me, some of the incremental developments and improvements over the year one to year two in the DeBoer era. And I would assume that there are some areas where year three, those improvements will continue.
Gray, before I let you go, I got to ask one last thing as a follow-up. Because my point is, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you maintain the same standard as an Alabama fan for the team and the program that you may have had, that you may have had over the course of the last 15 years or so, right? Not just because of the coaching change, but because of the change in the landscape of college football. I use the example, which, you know, Texas Tech and Indiana. I mean, you look at these two football teams that went from being completely irrelevant to now seeing where they're at as programs. Do you think it's embarrassing, or not necessarily embarrassing, but it's a shame to say that Alabama fans should maybe reset some of those expectations? Or do you think that's more so just kind of, that's probably, adjusting and adapting to the current system in which we see college football at?
I think it's okay to have expectations of the end goal, but I think the path, the expectations of the path need to change, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Like 9-3 7 years ago is not even a BCS bowl. You're not even getting into a good bowl. You're probably going, quote unquote, good bowl. Apologies to the folks at the Capital One Bowl and the Citrus Bowl. But, now 9-3 can get in the playoff and you have a chance to win the national championship. And I think, like, should your goals still be win the SEC, win the Natty? Of course. But I think you've got to understand, and the general fan needs to understand, that winning consistently, down to down, day to day, game to game, is harder than it's ever been in any collegiate sport. And that's why, 9-3 works in the college football playoff. That's why you see teams that are barely above 500 because of strength of schedule get into baseball and softball postseasons. That's why, we have teams who maybe don't have great regular seasons go on runs in the NCAA tournament because winning is hard. And I think the path is what probably needs to be adjusted. The end result, no. I mean, this is Alabama, and you still are here to win championships. But the path is going to be a little bit different, especially in football, now that you're about to play the toughest schedule ever. We've never seen 9 conference games in SEC play before. And it'll be interesting to see how Alabama and all the teams in the league handle that change.
Absolutely. Definitely going to be interesting. And I'm sure there's going to be even more changes down the road. Gray, we appreciate you hopping on and joining us, man. Hey, real quick, before I let you go, tell everybody about all the work you're doing, especially on the softball side of things. I know you got a lot of content that you guys put out.
Oh yeah, we have a big weekend. We have the Out of the Box podcast that dropped this week, @OutOfTheBox_pod on Twitter. We cover everything from Alabama to the SEC, and even we had a WrestleMania episode this week. We've got the radio broadcast on. Hey, and I'm the one that knows nothing. That's Tom's foray. Oh. I just go in and pick the name. I would recommend listening to hear Tom's analysis, not mine. Mine is, I think that guy needs a shower. I'm going to take the other guy. But then TV broadcast this weekend as well for Alumni Weekend on SEC Network Plus. That'll be a good time, and, always staying busy.
Absolutely, man. Love to hear it. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on the show. Gray, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Christian.
Absolutely. Gray Robertson, everybody, of the Crimson Tide Sports Network and SEC Network, of course. We got into timeout. We come back. We wrap things up. And plus, we still got Mr. Lamparella. We'll finish with him on the list.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
TuscaloosaCDJR.com. Example, 25 Dodge Hornet, 32850, dime down, 575 a month, 60 months, 6% APR, plus tax, tag, title to qualified buyer.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. This has been quite the eventful day, man. We've been joined by Mr. Lamparello himself of Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Again, make sure you guys check them out for any of your representation needs. And, of course, any type of planning, whether that's academic or career planning, young adults, high school, college students, they've got you covered. 201-317-5115. Or you can always email Adam at Lamparello-Law.com, or just come hang out on the stream where he visits with us frequently. And you can definitely get into contact with Mr. Lamparello right there as well. Guys, I want to hit this real quick. Again, we also have the Pastor Payne joining us from the luxury, what's Rice headquarters? What's the name of the boat that you're on? Is there a name?
Rice Quarters.
Rice Quarters, yeah. Okay. From Rice Quarters. Guys, there's been some reports coming out. Speaking of, you know, the landscape of college football, I just heard a number thrown out there, allegedly, that there's some estimates of $60 million, I guess, put towards NIL in 2026. Now, that sounds a little wild, but this was Courtney Morgan the other day speaking on some NIL stuff and how they handle it. Hold on. Can you guys hear that? Nope. There we go. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. There we go.
You never really know really what other schools are spending. Everyone has creative ways in the third party NIL, the NIL portion of their spending pay players. So you really don't know what other people are really doing. You kind of do the math in your own head by monitoring what other schools and competition are doing, wondering are more than $40 million, but you just never really know. But what we've done is try to take things in our own hands and come up with different ways so we can help offset the gap. Content creation, third-party deals. Just kind of worry about what competition is doing, not taking care of what's going on in your own program.
All right, so he just even alluded to, yeah, there is the potential for, I guess, being, I guess, rosters that consist of, I don't know, over 60, or no, he didn't say, he said over $40 million. I think Josh Pate tweeted he's heard of even $60 million rosters. Guys, when you guys hear that, man, what goes to y'all's minds? I mean, you got Coach Saban trying to help clean stuff up, but then you got everybody complaining about him doing that. I think we're seeing why he's saying that, because we went from $20 million. The next year, now it's around $40 million. Now we're already hearing $60 million. Where does it end, Adam?
Well, I think that the fact that it's so unregulated is deeply problematic, and it is ruining college football. But, you know, one thing you talked about before was, is the glass half empty or is it half full? What I would say is it's one third full. That's how. And I say that because when you look at Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, the last three national champions, how did they beat you? They beat you at the point of attack through physicality. That was their DNA. It wasn't some fancy scheme. It was they lined up and they kicked your ass. For Alabama to be successful, they have got to return to the physicality that defined them in the Saban era. And they have to have the mental toughness to be able to persevere in difficult games, win those close plays, and win at the line of scrimmage. I think the concern is not what's the record going to be. We can win a national championship if we're 9-3 or 10-2. The question is, how are we winning and how are we losing? And the concern for me is how we're losing, because we're putting the prize before the process. We got to get back to the process.
I like it. Any last thoughts, Pastor Payne, real quick? I'm going to stay on the stream for a second, but we're closing out on radio, so I want to give you the floor.
I like the fact that you said you put the prize before the process, and that's the problem. That's my quote of the week, the prize before the process. I like that. So, you know, the bottom line is this, you know, we're looking at a team 8-4, 9-3. That's what we're looking at right now. There's nothing that we've seen through spring, through this A-Day. Nothing has given anybody – any great confidence that this team should be better. And so therefore, until that is shown, which won't be until football season, that's who they're going to be in my mind. They're going to have to prove me that they're better than an 8-4 type of team. And right now, that's what I see. And history says that.
Yeah. What is that? What?
That means history based on.
Dude, go. Listen, yeah. You're on a yacht. You're at the. Go enjoy it, man. Golly.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm trying to see why people. I'm not gonna lie. Listen to you today. I can see why people used to like when they hear you say stuff. I'm not gonna lie. It's not coming from like a. You know, if they do, it's just so.
History says it.
Nah,
A lot of people in the chat feel the same way.
Golly.
What have they done to make me feel like this?
You didn't even see A-Day, so what the hell are you talking about?
I've seen A-Day. I've seen enough.
Corey had a Pro Bowl season for the Giants in 1993, and you want to know why? He was nasty.
I've seen 2 years of getting tail kicked up front in the trenches of Alabama football. That's what I've seen.
I've seen
Vanderbilt dominate them.
And I saw South Carolina and Cancun on the back of that yacht with you. Adam, we appreciate you, brother. Look forward to next week, man. Seriously, it's always a pleasure having you on, Adam.
Thanks so much. Great to see y'all. Have a great day. Sir.
You too, man. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow for Free For All Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.